May 21st, 2014 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. God.
Show. Brother Matt, how are you?
I've just been chowing on this killer burrito over here.
Yeah, remember last show, people, I was talking about the Guanajuato pad here in Pedro and Pacific between 2nd and 3rd. You know, it's a Carretera Mercado kind of thing, but they got a little counter in the back and they make up good chow. And Mercales is the on sale day for the carnitas. So I thought, man, just talking it all up with Brother Matt, he hears so many people trying to sell him and boom. So I thought, well, best thing for me to do is be still with the parabolas and just get the fucking comidas in his mouth. So I brought it.
Killer.
We started off with John Coltrane doing Train Sonic, the alternate version. Then we had Einstein and Neubauten in the Mojave Desert, maybe 1983?
84. First show with you guys was 83.
No, I said Einstein and Neubauten.
Right, 84.
In a song called Armenia. And then Minuteman with Tune for Wind God, which was on Politics of Time later. So that one came before, so I played them in orders. Anyway, that voice you heard in the background, people, that's our guest for today's show. It's Stuart Sweezy. I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And your partner?
Mariska.
And you're living in Highland Park now. She's on the west side, although she grew up where you're living now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You see this?
Clean bugs are happy, but we don't.
Oh, pardon me, Brother Matt. I want to make a wreck out of this place.
Bottle caps. So my pick was in the Bastora.
So, yeah. So Mariska has been a partner in crime on lots of different projects way back, and including the first desert show all the way through.
Yeah, let's go way back.
Yeah.
When did you put on your first show?
You know, I get sketchy on years, too, but we did a few shows.
Do you remember shows. What your first show was?
I remember it was, there was like three shows, actually, before we did a desert show. So there were some gigs
we'll get to the desert shows.
Okay. And it was like, you guys, I remember a band, Mnemonic Devices, Shadow Minstrels, people like that.
Yeah.
So we did some around Atwater, places like that. And then took a break from those kind of club
obviously it was the punk scene.
Yeah.
So we're probably talking early 80s.
Right.
When did you first get involved with the scene?
You know, I think...
just going to gigs, finding out about punk.
Okay.
Where did you grow up, Stuart?
I grew up in West L.A. area and, been in L.A. my whole life.
Risk is now on the west side.
Yes, I know, we switched.
You guys flipped it over. So you grew up on the west side.
Right. And
I was born in 1957.
Okay. 61.
61. We're about close. We're close. So we graduated high school in 76. That's when we heard about the scene. Mickey Beat, actually, the Weirdos drummer, lived here.
Oh, yeah?
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was walking around where the old Lower Reservation used to be at Fort MacArthur. It's a marina now. Cabrillo Marina.
Marina Del Pedro, part of town.
Right. He's wearing a Kotex around his neck, and he said there was a scene up in Hollywood where people wrote their own songs, which we were like, whoa. So how did you hear about it?
You know, I think that the big moment for me was, Rodney on the Rock, Sunday nights, I'd hear punk rock, and then there was the band, The Damned, at Rhino Records, which is not too far from where I live.
Oh, so you're near Westwood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Rhino was kind of a hotbed of punk rock stuff back then.
Nell's worked there 9 years.
Oh, yeah. His dad was my English teacher, actually.
Whoa!
Mr. Klein.
Mr. Klein. Wow. And you know where he was born?
I don't.
Pedro.
Oh, really?
It's in the Connection Strip.
Wow.
Yeah, he's from Pedro.
I knew Carla was from down here.
She's from Pedro.
Yeah.
And then Dee Dee Faye. Backdoor Man.
Oh, yeah.
Her sister in the Zippers. Her parents were Pedro, but they moved to Carson, so she grew up in Carson, just up the freeway from us. So, okay, Rhino's having an in-store with Dan.
And the Dan were there, and I was like, wow, this is just so weird and cool, and I got to know more about this. And I was, I think I was looking, like a lot of us were at that time, for something to connect with. Right, yeah. I'd been to see like Tom Petty and crap like that, and it just didn't really, wasn't doing it for me. So, it was just soon after that we started going up to the Whiskey and seeing bands, and I saw the Jam at the Starwood, and somehow ended up at the Mask, but I met Black Randy of Danger House Records.
Sure, sure.
And
in the Metro Squad.
So then it was like deep into that.
You know,
the
name of his album was Past the Dust, I Think of Bowie. And he did his thing like kind of a hunky-dory.
Yeah.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he is. He's no longer with us.
I know. Very sad. But did you find out, though, that in a way... Yeah, it was a much different dynamic than that arena show. Anybody could go to these shows, but anybody could maybe even put on shows. Anybody could start a band, just a whole different thing, right?
For sure.
So you didn't really come from putting a band together. You came from, let's put a show together.
Right, yeah. I was like, what can I do to contribute to this scene that, I really like? And I guess I must have had an early kind of like... Well, there was places like the Brave Dog in downtown LA and stuff like that where it was all ages, pay $5,
all
the beer you could drink, and seeing all these great bands all in one lineup. So I was like, I just was inspired by people just taking over a space and making it for the scene rather than dealing with the nightclubs and all the stuff on the Sunset Strip and all that. I didn't really, I liked seeing the bands there, but it didn't feel like as cool and kind of inspiring to me. Yeah. So that was the first phase, and then
so you put on some gigs.
Yeah,
obviously, I bet you probably at the gigs we played. I remember you asking us early on to do one of your. I guess I didn't know how many shows you had done it up to that point.
Not much. I mean, yeah. And then there was also there was a cassette magazine called Nonplus.
Do
you remember that? And I interviewed you guys for that. And, yeah, I just, I mean, you guys were kind of just, you put it all together. I mean, so well in terms of just, you know, I was a big Wire fan. And then you're like, pop group, Stuart, check out pop group, you know. And then, but you guys were from here and you were like contemporaries and
had...
Well, I mean, here, L.A., period. You were coming at the whole kind of punk slant so differently than everybody else. And for me, it was like, I just, you know, felt like you guys kind of represented where I thought things should be going. You know, and the lyrics were great, the one-minute songs. And all, I mean, it was just all, like, just inspiring. So, yeah. And you know, musically, you guys just were evolving so fast. You know, it's like, but even from the beginning, it was like, these guys, you know, there were so many kind of sound alike, look alike, you know.
Yeah.
And there were so many inspired people, too. There was a lot of both, I think, going on.
So. I'm trying to remember.
There was a place, oh, I forget, I too. I remember somebody.
I think Atwater's kind of in the East Hollywood part near Los Feliz and.
Silver Lake. Right near the LA River. It was like.
Right by the river, so far.
What was that place called? Anyway.
The Beastie Boys had a pad on that main street there.
There was a rehearsal studio.
I think there was just a big oil leak.
Yeah.
50,000 gallons.
Wow.
Yeah, it just came up through the manholes. Oh, yeah, I found out because it's all secret now, but. There's all kinds of pipes under SoCal. Tons of them.
Huh.
But they don't let people know because it's like...
Yeah, people would freak. Well, there's those seismic activity. Yeah.
Pipe cleaner.
Pipe is a problem.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm just trying to remember. A lot of times I can remember old days, and then other times, man, it's all foggy.
I can imagine.
I remember the gig. I can't remember the pad.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll have to come back and do my homework.
Helen had the thing. Actually, Jack brought us in there.
Anti-Club.
Yeah, right. Jack and the Overman guy. He had a couple guys, and they worked with the Brave Dog people, too. I don't think Jack had a band.
No.
But the other man did.
Craig Lee, no.
He was the singer of, Overman.
Oh.
Wow.
And I remember playing with them in Wall of Voodoo. They played there early in... But it was some of these guys, Jack, I can't remember his last
Jack
name.
Jack Marquette.
Marquette, that's it.
Right.
He worked with some of them Brave Dog guys. The percussion man, I actually saw him do a gig with Laurie Anderson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who was Over? Do you remember Overman?
Remember, yeah, no, that was like... part name.
Oh, Jim Van Tyne?
Right,
yeah.
Really, really incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many incredible individuals of those times. I wish I would have... they made an incredible impact on me, but they deserve more, like, at least me remember their names and shit.
Well, it's been a while. I mean, like, you asked me about venues and where we did things, and it's, you know, I have to go back. I have to go on the internet sometimes just to figure out, you know, what I did back then. Like, I found a flyer for a show, and it was like, Tragicomedy, Minutemen, Monica, you know. It was probably you guys said, like, oh, you should book Tragicomedy, you know what I mean, or something like that.
But, from the hill. But people, guys, we knew a line, so our label put that out. Me and you both.
Yeah.
Let's play some music.
patience, a basic holiness, preoccupation. Focus, a born at this point of time. Focus on, focus is a state of mind. Rickshaw, rickshaw, feel the boot. Bootstrap, wing flaps, here's a hoop. Tumble the bubble, being more than a word. Something else fell, certainly not a word.
Hey.
was impossible to fake. We were illegible, a line made by mistake. I had to exercise restraint. I didn't realize that I want to collided.
go ahead, grass you out. I'm super awkward. You're super awkward.
because you saw this on his boat kit here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Love Grotto people here on the Pleasure Point has many plates and platters of eye candy for people just to feast and get the brains on.
Definitely.
Guest steward here got the old hook, the old treble hook in the side of the mouth when he looked over here. Stop sign. In fact, set off a little flag in his mind that he met this man. Have you ever met him?
No.
Yeah, well, I had a job. I was working in Washington, D.C. Anyway, the punchline of the story is,
yeah.
He said, I've never taken drugs in my life. And and I was like, not even pot. And he goes, no, because I felt like I wouldn't be able to represent the organization properly. And I'm like, wow.
Way back,
dedication.
Yeah. No aspirin. Yeah.
Stop the drug
war. Okay, stop.org.
Sounds of Peter in the
background. Well, the starting students, somebody's moving in over here, bro. We just heard Pascal and Electus. That's something new from the Chef Cooks team. It's Brother Jew, Tokyo, your band. I know they're going to open up because I'm the first 10 gigs that they'll send you to my Naya tours with the Light Brothers.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Mr. Wall, you might have some competition here. Like, he's even got the phone number here. Right?
Yeah, because it came on the
mic. He was on the show.
I thought so.
Remember it blew our mind up where he learned how to play guitar, sag mouse for Mike Palm of Agent Orange. I never knew John Wall was from Orange County.
Right.
Yeah,
loved Agent Orange, by the way.
Yeah, first time at the King and I. The name before Raji's.
Oh, wow.
At Magic Tornado on Hollywood Boulevard. The head of that was a Belgian band, Billions of Comrades, with Kaon, Barbez, Etche Yeshiva Vadad. I think they do like Italiano Jewish old songs.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a niche. Hooray Matinee, Petra Hayden's new project with St. Valentine. She just did a pair. Improvisation of pairs, duets.
Is it on TV too, huh?
Was it on TV also?
I think late night, something or other.
Wow.
I believe so.
She's getting busy.
Yeah, very
respect.
Busy.
Cool. Petra. You know, Charlie Hayden.
Sure. Yeah. Petra Hayden.
Dirty Beaches ahead of that with Love is the Devil. A few acts there in Lisbon. I think he's got a sax band now. And then Cuz, brand new album came out. Day before yesterday, yeah. Time of Tobacco. This is with no bee sting. And we start everything off with Beast Sting. Something new from Tobacco, who's on tour. No bee sting, like a drone. I wrote this song. I was sitting there on the rocks, me on my bike ride at Royal Palms down by the water. And you know how you can tell a drone bee, right? They got big eyes. And you ain't got to be scared because they got no stinger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The workers are all ladies that ain't fertile. The queen, of course, is a lady who is fertile. The drones are the only boys, and they only a little job, right, to make the fertile. So when they're kind of useless, they drive them out of the hive. They end up starving to death. They got the big eyes, and we can see the queen. She's like five times bigger.
You'd know a queen, for sure.
And, back to Stuart Sweezy, our guest in his... Journey Through Music. He's putting on gigs. He's asking the Minuteman and Shadow Minstrels.
Yep.
And who's the other guy? Mnemonic Devices.
Right. And we did a show with you guys in Tragicomedy.
Tragicomedy, which is Dirk Vandenberg, our neighbor down here. Power Trio he had with John McNowski and Crane.
Yeah.
Wow. Dirk Vandenberg, people, is the one who took the picture of covered Double Nickels on the Dime.
Wow.
Need reference.
And got the awesome guitar safari shop.
That's right, 6th Street here in Pedro. If you need repairs, if you need purchase, if you need just somebody to talk to, go see Dirk. Where is it? Between Pacific
and Mesa, just up from Mesa.
On the same side as the Warner Grand Theater.
Yeah.
Getting back to this, okay, but what you're doing, you're finding rooms. And you're, like, kind of taking them over, right?
Right, yeah. Just, you know, open spaces. Anybody that would let us, you know,
sure.
Put on a gig.
You didn't have to deal with that rock and roll hierarchy shit.
Exactly, right. Just get a PA or find a place that had a PA in there already because it was a rehearsal studio. And just kind of do it so the bands had somewhere to play and we had somewhere to hang out and really not have all the, like, you know, wristbands and security and all that stuff. It just all that has always kind of put me off. Like, I don't really relate to that with music.
Did you get onto this thing about different venues? Because it's the desert before the boat.
Desert was the very first.
Before the boat.
Right.
Because we get asked by Stuart after already doing some... And we already picked up on this, that punk was about whatever you wanted to do, so you didn't have to play. In fact, some situations like Black Flag, they could only play the Ukrainian Hall or the Polish Hall. A lot of rock and roll clubs wouldn't let you in. In fact, I remember we were, Minutemen weren't allowed in their whiskey, we were called a violent SST band. Till who asked us to open up there? Fear. I think that's got us into the rock. But anyway, we get asked by you to do a really intriguing proposition. He's going to rent two school buses, find a dry lake in the Mojave Desert, and do a gig with Savage Republic there. Via a generator, right? No plug. No structure. Just put up the buses, I guess, for a windbreak.
That was an afterthought.
So, right, we figured that out once we got there, about the windbreak.
Especially with the contacts. Now, how did you get this idea
to
the people? That Minutemen song you heard at the beginning of the gig, of today's edition of the show, that's from this gig.
You know, it kind of came to me driving with some friends through the Sonora Desert in Mexico, just listening to music and, you know, cranking the old cassettes and, like, thinking, like, this is the way the music that I like should be experienced. And I was thinking, like, what if you could actually, you know, have bands out here? Like, what, you know, in the middle of nowhere? And so when I came back, I was talking to Bruce Leischer from Savage Republic. And Bruce, I was a fan of them also. And Bruce was like, I like
what were they called? They had another name.
Well, they were originally called Africa Core.
That's it.
And then I think
was wondering, like, I've seen that word in, like, war movies and shit. I, like, right. They call their bandits.
Yeah, I don't think that lasted too long. But they
morphed into the.
But they were into this kind of desert
people.
Thing. It was the same band.
Yeah,
I think
they had one guy. He went on to do his own thing. He was written, Bruce did too. I think it's actually Ethan Still's got to go.
Actually, I went and saw them. We both went to see Ethan's version of Savage Republic.
Park.
Yeah, a couple, what, like 3 weeks ago? They played with Medicine, Brad Lander's band.
Brad Lander?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a good show.
But anyway, so you thought, this is the way I want to see a gig.
Right, exactly. And Bruce was like, well, you know, there's a dry lake bed out near Palmdale where I go and I do photography, you know, because he was into a lot of different kind of graphic things and he had his own letter press that he would use to...
That cardboard kind of aesthetic he used.
Yeah,
great.
And so he's like, let's go out there and scout it. So I went out there, and I've always liked the desert, I guess, you know, just the vastness of it and the emptiness, and just thought, you know, part of it was, I think, you know, just like the way you guys have made being from Pedro, like, part of the whole thing all these years now, you know. I was like, well, we're in L.A., we're not in London, we're not in New York. Where else could you get these great bands that are really innovative and stuff like that, and go out to the middle of the desert and play, you know, and where
That's
else could
point.
This situation happen? So that was part of it. I was like, you know, and so again, like you're saying about, you know, my tact wasn't so much like, oh, I'm going to start a band, but like, let's do other things with the scene and make it something.
Be creative about it.
Right, exactly.
So you get this idea, let's rent some school bus. I think Bruce printed the tickets, if I remember.
Yeah. Well,
you got some?
You know, I brought, I don't know if you have the, I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, but the Joy at Sea tickets?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you got one of those.
No,
rather than that.
This is exact Bruce Leitcher's kind of trip on this.
Well, yeah, he did these too, so basically, the school bus thing, I think, Mariska, you started getting involved probably by that time, right, in the planning phases of what we were doing.
Specifically, I was bus monitor.
Before that, we had to have the idea. Before there was a bus monitor, we had to have the idea of how are we going to get people there. And I think...
Where did we meet? Somewhere downtown, right?
Yeah.
We met downtown and...
Right in the little Tokyo area?
Yeah.
Empty parking lot?
I remember, we didn't use a van. We rode along with everybody.
That's cool. Yeah. So I think I just thought it would be more fun. I mean, I also thought, like, I don't have to worry about... It was partly due with the tickets, too. Like, you know, we needed a certain amount of money just to pay for the generator and the PA and all that stuff like that. And I thought it'd be easier just to get the tickets there, because otherwise out in the middle of the desert, how do you, like, you know, pass the hat? What are you going to do? So, but it was also like it'd be kind of a fun thing just to have a bus and be able to have a few drinks or whatever on the way out and not have to worry about driving yourself back. I didn't want to have to worry about people's, you know, ability to drive home. That kind
of
thing.
You know, Richard Meltzer, you know, there's pictures inside Double Nickels on the Dime.
Yeah.
That stuff on the right side. There's Wilson Park on the real right side. As you get closer to the spine, you can see the buses. You see V. Boom with the headband and the glasses because the dust was getting in his contacts. There's the wind blowing.
Oh. Right.
Left the wind. I think we had a jam for the sun god and one for the rain god and one for the wind god in that set. I
mean, that was with Joe Biza playing.
Yeah, because Minutemen would bring in these jams in the set that were very short. That one was kind of 3 or 4 minutes. That was a long one. But they had no structure. We just did it to, like, counterbalance all the little very deliberate compositions.
Right.
I remember maybe it was kind of a small generator. So I think we pulled too much current.
Well, you know, Mariska had started pulling out, because she was taking pictures out there. And she's, I don't know, we started a little Facebook.
I think
Facebook.
My pictures are from Dirk Vandenberg.
Right, yours are from Dirk, because he told me about that after we started being back in touch. And then he's supposed to go find his negatives, too, although he hasn't done it yet.
Well, this was in the moment. You know, when you made a SST record, you just glued everything on a white poster board.
Right.
Literally cut them out with scissors and glued them there. No negatives. I glued the actual pictures on the cardboard. Raymond's drawings.
Yeah. Very cool. It's a great cover, too. I mean, it's a classic. <thing. laughs>
Totally not Photoshop. I was using the same typewriter for the writing.
We have a picture of the generator, and on the dry lake.
It had to run everything.
Yeah. Yeah, we learned. I think we ended up getting bigger generators.
Bigger ones the next time.
Once we had a band that played Power Tools, a little foreshadowing.
I was at that one.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't at the second one. Because we were on tour.
The second
one. The one where you do with Sonic Youth.
That
Red
was
Cross.
The last one I did, actually.
Okay.
That was the
That's where we're not there.
Right.
Is that one after Einstürz Ende?
Yeah, Einstürz Neubauten was the second desert one. And then, I'm skipping around a little bit.
But the other one, I couldn't go because we were out of town.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you brought some music from there.
That
was incredible.
After two desert shows, I mean, we can talk a little bit more about Neubauten, but that's when I was like, well, okay, I did that. You know what I mean? Desert, water, and then it was
Do you remember, here's something I remember about the desert gig. Coming home. We had to pull over something, and some dude attacked us with rocks.
I was not on that bus.
I've heard about it.
I don't remember it exactly because I'm kind of buzzed and stuff. But I remember we had to pull over and some dude's, something like, you know, hey man, you know, the fuck. And,
just one guy?
He had a buddy or something, but he's telling shitty jokes and he wanted us to laugh. I said, laugh! And like, no one laughed, so he started throwing rocks. I said, laugh! It's like some movie. It was so bizarre. But I remember some got a flat or some kind
I think
of trouble.
It was, I think the bus got a flat. Yeah.
The school bus got a flat. People were at the end of the first hour of the May 21st edition of Watt for Peter shows. Special guest, Stuart Sweezy, Brother Matt here. Hold tight for hour two. May 21, 2014, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Big Bump is coming up next, man. You know what? This is the tumbleweed country. LSD country pump. That's what Big Puppets are. Thank you.
this, just in case you haven't heard, Red Cross is going to play. Yes, they are here.
Thank you. Yeah, the light.
sense.
No, that's not here. Watt from Pedro show. We start off the second hour. We're having a little debate here. Trying to remember shit. Of course, that's hopeless. But Dave Travis has kind of a handle on it, so I'm inclined to trust him. Start off the second hour with some live Meat Puppets, courtesy of Stuart Sweezy. Not only did he put on the gig that gave birth to these versions, I got the versions from him. I've never heard these things from the desert, the Mojave Desert. Was there ever a name of that dry lake bed? Mecca?
Mecca was the Einsturz of the Neubauten one. So that was...
That's right, and that's a different location.
Different location, and that was something where we just drove down... a road that said road closed.
Yeah,
this is pretty cool. This is a good canyon here. And it looked really like kind of, you know, Jurassic or whatever. It just looked like dinosaurs were going to come around.
Yeah,
the
it was different than ours. Ours was a flat, very flat.
Right.
It was a dry lake bed.
Yeah. There is a name for it. Lucerne Valley is the closest town, and I believe that it's called the Lucerne Valley Dry Lake Bed. Not that exciting.
And I remember
name,
those dudes, them little three-wheel cars with a sail.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
doing that shit where they wail using the wind. Okay, start off with this is all Meat Puppets, people. Two rivers, then away, then up on the sun, tumbling weeds, two wheel, a fallen match, maiden milk, and finally hot pink. We're thinking what, 1985?
Very early 85, I can tell you. It was January 5th, and the reason for that is because I wanted to do a show with Sonic Youth. I'd seen them when I was over in Europe, in Berlin, and I met them. And they were just going...
They hadn't really toured in the U.S. They were mainly toured in Europe in those days.
Right. And when I met them, they were like, I'm like, well, what are you guys doing? They're like, well, we're just sort of going from town to town, you know? Like, they had no real plan or whatever. And so I said, well, if you're ever back in the States and, you know, you want to do a show, like, I did this desert show and, like, you know, get in touch. That was the same thing I said to Neubauten. That was when I met them, same time period. And because they both were bands that just blew me away. I was impressed.
Yeah, both.
And so Kim and Thurston. Kim grew up in L.A., not
West
too far
side.
From, yeah. And Prosser Street?
Prosser?
Yes. Right, yeah, right.
Meaty Meat, there's a little burger thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right down on Pico there.
That's only like a block from her mom and pop's pad.
Right, exactly, yeah. No, it's not Meaty Meat. Sorry, I hate to contradict you, Mike Watt. It's Marty's.
Marty's
hamburger. Meaty Meat is further
another
down.
One?
Yeah, that's down like more like, you know.
What about Apple Pie Pan?
Apple Pan rules. Apple pan. Yeah, I spent a good part of my life in that place.
Yeah. We're talking Pico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Meaty Meat's further down toward Fairfax or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to fuck.
That's all right. I know that area.
Totally.
But
so really
it was
bad.
It was so
what,
right around Christmas time, right? And Kim and they were, you know.
They always do New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they always came to visit Mom and Pop.
Right, so they were there, and they're like, well, look, we're going to be in L.A. anyway. Why don't we do the show then? And I'm thinking, well, geez, this is my window to do the Sonic Youth show that I've been wanting to do. And, you know, we all wanted to do another desert show. And the Meat Puppets, at that point, I had them do had already done Joy at Sea with the Minutemen.
Right. But we ain't got to that yet, people.
Yeah, and I'm skipping around chronologically.
You know, it's because it's connected via the desert.
Right. But I
and
felt
also
like
this Meat Puppet stuff here.
Had to do a desert show with the Meat Puppets, because who knows when I was going to do one again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they actually, being from Tempe, Phoenix, they're a desert band.
Exactly.
Well, closer than we are.
Yeah, no, I mean, pretty much. If you've been to Phoenix, you're not too far from the
more
desert.
More than Pedro.
Yeah, for sure. So, and I don't know, I mean, you know, it was like I just reached out to everybody and it all kind of came together. They drove in from Phoenix, you know, straight to they didn't even go to L.A. They just drove straight to the, you know, dry lake bed from Phoenix, and they were camping out there.
Red Cross, too, right?
Red Cross, and...
We're from, like, Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Too close to the desert. Close
yeah, but close to, not
close
too far
to,
from
closer
us.
Closer than Germany.
Yeah.
For the cats before. And so those were the three bands, right?
Well, there was one more, a guy that you might remember. It was Mirska, used to be in a band with Perry Farrell called Psycom. And then...
Synthesizer. In fact, Minutemen played with them.
On top of Okie Dog.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Did,
was I there?
Why didn't you put that on?
I don't know. That's cool, though. I can't do it all, you know.
And I think Kara just come to SoCal.
Yeah.
And he was doing construction. And later on, you know, I worked for Porno, and he told me the story.
because that's where I first met them. They were trippy band. I liked them. They were trippy.
So I was roommate.
Being anything strange, you know.
Yeah, right.
When it all moved to guitars, it got a little regular for me. I like that 70s punk that would be like Screamers or
Yeah. Gender. Screamers are amazing.
You know,
yeah.
We don't even have a guitar in the band.
Right. Right.
I mean, we had one, but that didn't mean everybody else had to have one.
Nice.
I like this thing of that anything goes. You know, No Mercy? Remember that San Francisco band? They were just a drummer and a singer.
I've heard of them, but yeah. You may have to throw them into a
mix. You probably
mix
heard their
here.
Song,
yeah.
though. They had that big song, Caucasian Guilt.
Okay, yes.
Good drum lick.
Right, right.
But anyway, so...
So, well, Perry had...
Basically, all...
Yeah.
You get these ideas, and then the big thing was just making it happen.
Exactly,
this is
yeah.
like those kind of days.
And people were very cool
yeah,
in the sense of, nobody was like, oh, Stuart, you can't do that, or what the hell, how much am I getting up front? Or, you know, it was more like, yeah, let's do this,
yeah,
you know, and the spirit of that.
Like
was
Ed Wood, that movie, I don't right. know how accurate that movie is, but let's make a movie.
Right.
But it was that spirit, let's do a game.
Yeah. And there really was no realm of like, this is possible, this isn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could sort of, if everybody was willing to go along with it,
right.
you could make it a reality,
yeah, yeah.
you know.
Limited by your imagination. Maybe.
Right. And right. also that people's spirit, I think, is part of it too. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's willing to buy a ticket in advance. I didn't have all the money
sure.
to book everything, but people just bought the tickets at the record store. You know, there used to be record stores that, you know. No, I mean, there are. But
there used to be a Rhino.
yeah, Aaron's and Rhino. But, I mean, the thing was, it was all kind of on trust and like, yeah, let's
yeah.
just make this thing happen. And so, it was, what am I trying to say? Maybe I had an idea, but it was so many people that
Henry,
made it happen.
Henry and David, who's Vinyl Fetish guys? They had that
oh,
thing,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was Pooh Bah people, and, of course, Mike and his mom here in Long Beach at Zed's.
Yeah.
Zed's.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to be nostalgic people, but there was a kind of vibe that got lost.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well,
the old punk was a lot about people.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, people connect now with, like, internet and, you know, Facebook and things like that.
Yeah, but
now
that, I don't know that guy. What's his name? Zucker?
Zuckerberg, yeah.
He's the middleman between all of us.
Right.
Ooh. Like in the old days, you know. Like I think it was, like, if you lived in the city, it was Mr. Graham wanted to be in between everything. Or here, who was the guy in the Times? Mr. Hilburn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? So Kickboy makes his own magazine. Al makes his flip side.
Right.
Why isn't there that spirit now? We have to go through this other guy? He has a good-looking toll booth. Why don't you like him?
Yeah, so also I think there was places where you could go. Like, I mean, that's why, you know, we ended up starting a bookstore also, called them up books later
yeah,
on. Because, you know, you'd bounce around ideas and people would have conversation and stuff like that. So it was like you could spread the word.
Think it can happen, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's over, right?
No, I think
maybe
that...
Maybe in the cycle of spirit it's in kind of a low mode.
Well, it's everything gets harder, I think, in a way, because, like, rents go up and things. Just the practical side of things
okay.
has just gotten harder for people, I think.
Things were more econo in those days.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, they let us alone. They didn't know what our scene was.
Right.
That was one good thing. That Germ song, What We Do Is Secret. There were some advantages to that.
For sure.
Sure, you couldn't bring in 10,000, but you might bring in enough people to make an interesting, trippy gig.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's what you're hearing, people, is that Meat Puppets playing this... Same lake bed we did. But before that, we had done The Joy at Sea because Stuart got it in his head to do a gig in Pedro. But not exactly Pedro, but the waters off of Pedro. Now, which you rented a boat?
Yeah, we rented a whale watch boat.
Whale watcher boat.
That you would take out to sea and you know.
78.
I don't know. It was like they were up for it. They were willing to rent to us and... it wasn't such a huge boat that we couldn't afford it and had a kind of a big deck that we
yeah.
could, you know, where people would do their whale watching, that we could actually build a stage. And Aaron, who was your drummer, Aaron Shear, actually, like, was a really good construction guy. He just came down that day and just started,
put it
together, like,
right,
put it together right, yeah, on the boat that afternoon.
I remember it took off by the ferry bill, at what's called the Maritime Museum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Right there at 6th Street in the harbor.
So,
and, that was incredible. So we just, and that was with Meat Puppets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with the brother band of Minutemen. And we got to basically just cruised the harbor. We never went out of the harbor, right?
Well, I think, yeah, it was at night, and you had all the cranes lit up and stuff like that. I mean, it had a lot of atmosphere without leaving the harbor
Island.
Itself.
We were right next to Turtle Island almost the whole time.
You know, and going under
Bridge. It's the Thomas Bridge, right, the main channel, then going out to the outer harbor, and even on the Long Beach side. So it was hours. D-Boom was rocking the boat. I remember we had the time to amps.
Yeah.
Almost like wrestling ring style, you know. Because wrestling rings have really springy. Yeah. Well, D-Boom jumped up and down when we played with those midget wrestlers. We found out about that, tie the amps to the ropes, and we had to do that kind of here, too. D-Boom got moving, man. There was some physics going on.
That was a moment of like, what the hell were you thinking, right? Like, I had it all planned out in my head, and then I see D-Boom start jumping up and down. Like, whoa.
That's some momentum.
Don't want to lose this stack of amps right now.
Because it's hard for him to play standing still, you know.
Oh, it made it so much better. I mean, it was like everybody that was there was just like, whoa.
Captain Kahn was probably like, whoa, steady there, mate. Look, it's the time of the show now when Brother Matt's going to do his spin cycle.
All right.
And so we'll be right back to talk about more.
Thank you.
thank you so much.
Certainly.
For your
thank you.
Spin well, cyclage. What went into this well, edition's
gotta
inspiration?
Keep the meat puppet flow with the desert talk there.
Desert
and
talk.
And then the burritos kind of took over with the influence in Latin Playboys and some Hound Dog.
You know. Weren't you in the desert last weekend?
Yeah, Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree Music Festival. Very
Joshua
cool
Tree. Yeah, you know they got a regular thing now out there.
Out in the desert or at a bar?
A campground set up with like a little lake, and some guy took over the concert part. And he runs that, all the concert events through that, and they got the campground up there. So it's a very cool spot.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, they do it in May and in October.
Yeah, you don't want to do it in the middle of summer.
And there is a pad where they do inside gigs. Harriet's
got an inside and outside,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. But like people started moving out. Now they weren't in the area we were in. This is more upper desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you keep going past Joshua, past the turnoff of Joshua Tree,
yeah.
You would get to where we were talking about Mecca, California. Yeah. And then the other one was the high desert, where you guys played, was on the way out to, I guess, between Palmdale and Vegas, kind of that highway.
Lucerne.
Yeah. Well, Lucerne Valley was the last town before the dry lake bed.
Okay.
And then I was watching some video that Dave Travis had shot in Victorville. I guess we had, for the last show with Sonic Youth and Meat Puppets and Red Cross, we had a checkpoint where we actually let people, like, drive their cars, and then we gave them maps, and then they went from there to the dry lake bed. But I forgot.
Oh, wow. You didn't do the buses.
Yeah. Well, we did buses. We did both. We gave people the option because so many people were like, we just want to drive out there, you know. So I, like, broke down in the...
Because I remember our situation. I forgot to ask you. Was there any besides the throwing the rocks? Was there any crazy stuff from our gig?
I thought it was funny that the bus drivers came straight from church. They're these big black women, and they're all dressed in their Sunday good, and the look on their face when they saw who was getting on the bus.
The first one was pretty smooth. When we were talking about Joy at Sea, a friend of mine, Steve Hausman from Lawndale, told me a story, which I had from that show that I'd forgotten, is that we were going around the harbor, and on the way back to the dock, the harbor patrol pulled us over because we had a big banner that said Joy at Sea flying on the boat, and they made us take it down because it was, I forget, it was like an improper maritime, you know, banner or something like that. And we had to put the U.S. flag back up. So
you can't be having any Joy at Sea, brother Matt.
Demon's etiquette.
Any Joy at Sea. Oh, that's a trip. There was no bad incidences, though.
Nothing.
I don't remember any hombre. There was no police there.
There was no... We had no security. There was nobody...
you believe that?
Nice.
Everybody, you know, pretty much, you know, got along. I mean, there was like, I guess... I can't really say any bad incidents or vibes or, you know... I mean, there's a lot of different people trying to, you know...
What went wrong, but did.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's to everybody's credit that they were there just, you know, for the music and not to, you know...
Started in major hills.
Yeah. I did get in trouble with the last show with the Bureau of Land Management, which you remember the Minutemen bailed me out of. But we, because I never had permits for anything. And maybe in retrospect I should have, but, you know, at the time it didn't seem like any big deal. Like, people were out there with dirt bikes, like, why can't we have a concert? Like, you know. And so then I guess later on they got a flyer and they tracked me down, and then they wanted all these fees and stuff like that. And I mean, they were polite, but it was also the federal government. You know, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. So anyway, the Minutemen were kind enough to do a benefit.
That's right.
And the trespass benefit, and we came up with the $400 that the Bureau of Land Management were asking for. So yeah, there was, you know, I mean, probably pushing the margin of what you could get away with, you know, but,
for those days, especially. Maybe not nowadays.
But you got away with it and you created some legendary times.
Yeah, I think when we put that out on Politics of Time, were we the first one to release a recording of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think later Savage Republic released something, didn't they?
I don't know if there's any live Savage Republic from that show. In fact, I called Bruce Fleischer after you invited me to come on the show. And I said, look, I know you're credited as recording, you know, To Infinite Wind God, so you must have recorded other things, or, you know, and he goes, well, yeah, let me check it out. You know, it's like, you know, it's been so many years that people have a hard time finding all their stuff and stuff like that.
He's living in Arizona, right?
He actually moved to Bishop, California, he brought all his letterpress stuff with him, and he's still... He's done some amazing stuff over the years.
Oh, yeah, still doing it.
Yeah.
Stereo Lab. Does he still make music?
I think he does record with some people. He just doesn't tour with Savage Republic. I mean, that band is...
That's a whole other end.
Yeah, but I think he's still doing some projects. And
there was another cat in that band. He split off early.
Well, yeah, Jeff Long. Yeah.
Jeff was the bass man from UCLA, I remember.
But he ended up in Wasted Youth.
Right, and then I think... I don't know, he got some kind of degree and really good bass man. But there was another cat, he had a trippy name.
Jackson Del Rey did 17 Pygmies. Right. Who else was in the original? I mean...
Jeff? No, you can't remember his name?
I mean, I remember some of the names. Mark Erskine, I just don't know what other projects they did after Savage Republic.
Yeah, another cat.
I have a CD here. Here, will this help? I brought their. So I thought we might want to play one. Yeah. If this is not a live in the
I
desert track,
I've played stuff of them on the show before.
Yeah, so those are the guys that were on the original album.
Loveless. That's the guy. Robert Loveless.
Right. Yeah, he was the keyboards guy.
And yeah. He was kind of one of the Mookie Mooks too of that band, in those days.
Yeah.
Bruce had another project because I think he went to school at UCLA. Mm-hmm. The urinal guys knew him.
Yeah.
And there was some place where they could all record some kind of sewer tunnel or some acoustic kind of echoey thing.
Right.
And he did it before he joined those guys.
I think that's where all that stuff started. He was just banging on metal in that, like, underground bunker or something like that.
In fact, Ethan came later.
Right.
Is what I remember.
You are correct on that. Yeah. I think Ethan was just such a big, you know, fan of Savage Republic that he wanted to...
put you in the band.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I noticed, like, Ethan put some kind of tour together maybe 5 years ago, something like that, with Savage Republic and Blixa, the singer from Einstürzende Neubauten.
That's right.
And it was sort of talking about the fact that they had sort of been at the same place at the same time doing these desert shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
it wasn't really like out in the desert or anything, but it was just that it was from that time period.
Cosmology.
Yes.
That's part of cosmology. Really interesting. Where was that benefit gig?
Anti-Club.
That's right.
And, it was Nip Drivers, I think.
Yeah.
And...
By the way, Kurt just put out a record. The guitar man made a band called Labor Camp. He just put out a record. And I was just in a Mike Weber documentary. People were at the end of the May 21st, 2014 edition. Watch the Peter Show Hour 2. Hold tight for Hour 3. May 21, 2014, it's third hour. What? Pedro Show.
Chapter 3 of Mike Watt is a singer book.
Let it know you can get your
to my bosses. He's dead to me now.
Pedro Show. Starting off the third hour with the Minuteman stuff from Joy at Sea. King Stewart Sweezy put on. Let's see, I got a ticket in my pocket. Yes. This was Friday, June 15th, 1984. Day before Raymond's birthday. 2 days after Kay's. Started with Cut, then Jesus and Tequila, then a little man with a gun in his hand, and finally History Lesson Part 2. Yeah, that was a great gig. I mean, finally, to play Pedro, you know, at sea. That was great. You couldn't, no greater gift could be given to a Pedro band for making that fucking happen.
Well, it was an honor, for sure. I felt like such a memorable night. I mean,
what about the Einsteins and the gig? Who that was Mark Pauline and Research.
Right. What happened was, like, I had spent a little bit of time just, you know, backpacking around Europe kind of thing, and I was in Berlin. I saw them, because Ethan, actually, but before I left, he goes, there's this band called Einstürzende Neubauten, and I couldn't pronounce it either, and I was writing it down. I remember he goes, if you get to Berlin, you got to find these guys. So I'm like, I'm going to find them. I'm going to go to Berlin. You know, sounds cool. And so when I saw them, they just kind of blew me away, you know, again. Yeah. And they were really loud, noisy, but, you know, there was something really kind of, it was more than just industrial music. I mean, there was something really kind of tribal and cool. And so at the end of that night, I came up to him and I said, hey, you know, I'm from L.A. I'm going to be going back. If you guys are ever in L.A. and you want to play out in the desert, like, give me a call. Here's my number. And then heard nothing, you know, kind of basically forgot that I'd said it. And then I get a call from them in New York. I mean, they're in New York. I'm in L.A. And they're like, yo, we will be in Los Angeles in 1 week. Can you do a desert show? I go, shit. I got to do this.
When I got turned on to them, you know, they impressed me a lot. I remember Mufti on the pipes with the wrenches.
Yeah.
It was like the most intense machine shop nightmare you ever had. They had this cat on the bass. This guy had a one-string bass. And he had it on maybe 30 seconds before he throws it into the sand. He gets one of these fucking, you know, motor with the pounder, you know, for leveling out shit. Almost like a pogo stick. He's pounded that fucking bass. I was like, yeah. He also had that giant spring.
Right.
Like an hammer. I mean, there was some. Well, they were a trip, man. I mean, they were like having a wild idea and then actually making it actual.
Yeah. And they were truly anarchy in the sense of like the day before they played at Perkins Palace,
yeah,
which was a regular venue, and they opened
right,
for
theater.
A goth band called Specimen. But that day they're like, okay, you got to help us get our stuff together. I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? You know, I thought we'd be going to like a rental yard to rent some of the equipment, which were power tools that they were playing, but we also would just go to construction sites, and they'd just, like, put on a jumpsuit and go grab a big iron spring or, you know, whatever, throw it in the van. Like, okay, that's how you guys do this. So that was kind of an eye-opener.
Yeah, they were really good. Those were really unique things.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was interesting that, you know, I didn't know all the references then, but, like, they kind of had a lot of what was the avant-garde German thing from the 20s and things like that, like, you know, Dada and all that kind of stuff.
Before Futurist, the music concrete.
Yeah, and they kind of were doing it all, you know, but in more of, like, the kind of an immediate punk rock
way. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was hilarious. The guitar man, Blake Smith, he was adjusting his microphone, his cigarette and stuff. Meanwhile, these guys are like, right, like, totally oblivious to his. Because he actually looked like a rock and roller in a way, but the other guys,
yeah,
it was a trip. That was. What happened?
Well, in terms of that day?
No.
Oh.
You doing gigs?
You know, I guess I tried to, I don't know, I felt like I kind of, it ran its course for me, like I did these shows and I, you know, maybe just the evolution of, there wasn't anybody that was really exciting to me that I hadn't worked with yet in terms of putting on these shows, and I don't know, I think I was just ready for somebody else to take the banner and you know, or the baton
now
or whatever.
Let's hear some music, think about it.
Thank you.
course, you know, you just heard the Sonic Youth Flanagan stuff from the Desert Geek.
Well, also Bob Flanagan.
Stuart Sweezy put on, what was it, January 5th?
Yes.
1995? 1985. 85, I'm sorry. You just heard Burning Spear ahead of that with Brave Man Run. My Family. Kill Your Idols, it started with Death Valley 69, Sonic Youth, at Dry Lake Bend near Lucerne. That's the last village in California. Back to what we were saying. Yeah, so you're waiting for somebody else to...
Well, I don't know if that was it, really. I just, I think I
well, let's talk about this book thing. People,
right.
After this gig putting on venture... turned to book land.
Yes. I mean, I think that was it. I just wanted to do something different. Yeah. And Mariska and I had already worked together on a lot of projects. She used to do a zine called Contagion, which was kind had a lot of the ideas that, you know, and then I think when I got interested...
This was called Amok, right?
Amok, yeah. It started as a we were going to open a bookstore, and it was basically going to be inspired by kind of the kind of things that were in the Industrial Culture Handbook that Vail did. And, and films, you know, some videos.
We're talking
and stuff like that.
Middle 80s people.
And I guess the whole idea was to have a whole range of subversive type of information all in one place. And it could be, you know, it could be a cult, it could be conspiracy theories, psychedelia, forensic pathology books before, you know, CSI and all that became. So a lot of things that were just extreme in one way or another. So we called it the extremes of information in print. And we didn't have really the money to open the bookstore. And so we started a book catalog, a little thin catalog, instead, because we figured we could do that, you know. And then
you end up getting a pad?
We did. So we built
up. Brother Matt asked you if you did gigs there.
If we did what?
Gigs.
We did gigs. We did, like Marisco was saying, we did some book signings, and then we it was hard to do gigs at the actual store, or we didn't end up doing it that much. But we did some things with. I put on a show with this Indian. Supposedly Indian keyboard player Carla Pandit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Found out now he was a brother.
Yeah, right.
I kind of had a few times. Maybe I saw the one you're talking
It was at
about.
The Park Plaza Hotel.
Yeah,
did you go to that one?
Petty, I got to talk with him.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He was cool people. He told me about, he was part of the team that designed the Hammond B3.
Oh, wow.
That cat had some serious history. He had that assistant guy with him. He was I love that gig.
Yeah.
So wow, I saw him a few times, but I remember that Park Plaza. Wow.
Oh, cool. Man, he's been everywhere, Mike. There's
well, shit.
Good gig, he's there.
Well, those days, there was exotic stuff like that.
Yeah, right. And that was kind of like another thing.
Like one
was
time when I saw Nan guy, it was in a tiki room.
Oh, yeah. Remember back in Bahookas?
Maybe
not Bahookas. It was the one over in West LA,
Kelbo.
Right. Kelbo. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that show. Yeah. So that was like... Yeah, I mean, that was like, all that stuff was kind of like connected in different ways.
He was a cat who was like, had a show on daytime, I think Housewives, they'd have his head in the clouds with the turban on, and Housewives, I think, would fantasize about this exotic man. I think he had an affair with Marilyn Monroe. He had quite a history.
But it turns out he was not an Indian guy, no. he was a black guy from Iowa, and his original recording name was Johnny Reb. And then he couldn't get gigs, you know. He couldn't, so he had to
it
make himself
with
into
people. I heard.
Yeah.
For Hollywood.
Yeah.
Know?
So he kind of made himself into this.
These
this
guys
other
would
character.
Be coming out like kind of chiefs and stuff. It's right. Not even brothers. They're also Italian guys and stuff.
Yeah.
The famous tear, remember, because of the pollution.
Right. Oh yeah. Iron Eyes Cody.
Yeah.
Why? Wow. I bought it.
you'll gather round me, children, a story I will tell about Pretty Boy Floyd and how far Oklahoma knew him well. It was in the town of Shawnee on a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in his wagon, as into town they rode. There a deputy sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude, using vulgar words and language, and his wife she overheard. The lock chain and the deputy grabbed his gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Then he took to the trees and timber to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. Many a starving farmer, the same old story told. How did outlaw pay their own bills and save their little home? Others tell you about a stranger who come to beg a meal, and underneath his net.
and take it all in stride, and then you suffocate tonight. Today is the last day of the first part of your life. You gotta take it all back home, then you suffocate tonight with a hammer and a wife.
So, oh yeah, I gotta tell you what we heard. Yeah. Fallen Down by Rewild, fifth Aaron Oppenheim, Pretty Boy Floyd, 3/3. That's Heather.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the show coming
here. Right.
Crawford, Frightwing, they're back. Bleed, 10 Volt Shock, Still Alive, Burning Flag, finally, the Lemon Limes with Every Day. And Kevin Chanel, he's got relatives that, Law, what's it called? With the big hat, Tony and the big hat. Rank and file.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
The other guys were in the zeros. And,
right.
What happened to Muck?
Well, 10 years of running a bookstore, right. kind of became hard just in terms of the economics of it and right. things like that. There's a guy named Dan Wininger, who took it over for a little right. while, and then I kept publishing books. And there's a guy named John Gilmore who wrote a book about the Black Dahlia murder that all
sure.
people are aware of, and put out some other cool stuff along the way. But as far as you know, the actual having a bookstore, I just, you know, I think about it sometimes, like. We did it, you know, all of us over 10 years, and Malcolm McLaren had his store for like 6 months.
Right.
So sometimes it's just, you know, you do something for a while, and then it's like, all right, that's time to move
I
into
think,
another phase. You
Arthur
know.
Rimbaud, not even 3 years of poems, he was done.
Yeah, mm. But then he went off to Ethiopia and whatever.
That's the kind of meat cancer, he died.
But I mean,
I mean, what I mean is, like, some people, their thing is only a little bit.
Right.
It's okay. We're all different. If you had advice to give somebody who wanted to put on shows or open up a bookstore.
Well, if you want to do it, my advice would be do it. I mean, that's the first thing, is don't hold yourself back. But as far as, gosh.
I think that's good. I like that.
I think planning is something that is also helpful. Yeah, like, you know, really kind of figuring
out
how you're going to get from.
That's kind of hard, though.
Yeah,
do you have any advice?
I don't know. I still go to desert shows. So they have the Moon Tribe shows.
Well, Brad Manchester was that one.
There you go. Yeah, the 20-year anniversary.
Have you ever done this Burning Man? Do you think there's a connection?
Yeah, Moon Tribe has a connection.
I think
you were, like, setting the groundwork for
Burning
Man there.
Maybe you were way ahead. Do you know about this thing on Labor Day?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it's up to Nevada, but...
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to take credit for Burning Man, but, I mean, you know, I think
that started with a guy burning something because of a sadness up in the city, right?
Yeah, he started on the beach.
Yeah.
And then moved it out to the
But
desert.
This idea
right.
of putting gigs on in the desert...
I mean, I'd like to find out from some of the people that started Burning Man whether there's any connection there, but I know... Yeah, right, or whether they... I think a lot of San Francisco people just heard about these shows.
Because
I have friends that moved back down to L.A. that, you know, used to live up there. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, those shows were legendary. We, you know, we couldn't get that far down to L.A. to go to those gigs, but everybody knew about them.
Wow.
You know, so.
So maybe Brother Matt, because he has some connect with some of the people like Pepe, and they go way back with that
organization. Oh, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Pepe, isn't he connected with Mark Pauline, too? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's the city. He was up
he, does
there.
He do some sort of robotic-y stuff?
Well, he ended up with the opera. Like, they would have the big opera, and he's the one who'd script that, put it on.
Okay,
and
I might be thinking
of passed away,
yeah,
right?
Last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, I think that there's probably some other, you know, things that have come out of it.
Well,
I know there's been other deserts.
What you want to do right now is bring attention to people. You set stuff up on the web. You're setting something up.
Well, we've started a group, Facebook group, for people to upload their pictures. I don't know whether there's
Are
people...
Are you going to make your own website?
I want to...
You're going to own everything?
Well, what I really... The big project is I want to make a documentary. And so I really...
And people... It was called Desolation Center. I forgot right. the name. But Stuart had, like, a name for this theme.
Yeah. That was the organization right. that we were DC. That was putting on
so
the
you
show.
Know, you, end of the day, you want a Desolation Center doc.
Right, yeah. Right. And you know, going so back to the early shows. Well, I'm looking... I'm basically looking for people that have stuff to... Okay. Either good stories to tell. Because sure. every... You know, it's not just about... the musicians that were there, but it's like everybody had these experiences, and they were kind of just I want to tell all the different angles of what was going on, but also
well, how can they reach you?
I'll give my either that or I'll give my email address ssamok@yahoo.com.
ssamok @yahoo.com.
And just email me.
Talk to Stuart Sweezy about this, especially if you have recollections or stories of these older days.
And photos. I know, like, I was doing a little research. There's somebody who wrote a history of punk rock in San Pedro. I know. And I'm like...
Craig Gabara.
Yeah, and, you know, people
still
like that.
On it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm interested in anybody's photos.
Whale of a Town
or
something. Calls it the Whale of a Town.
Yeah, okay, that was it. But the stuff's starting to come out of the woodwork. There's people that were videotaping. Like, there's a guy up in Eureka.
Yeah.
Eureka Mike, who has beautiful footage up on YouTube now. And so, like, I'm putting feelers out. Whoever has stuff, and I want to kind of put it all together, do some interviews, and really, really tell the story of
okay,
all this.
Okay, people,
stuff.
Please help if you can. Reska, Stuart, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah. Me and Brother Matt, very much glad you came.
Well, we appreciate
you're
it.
You're around
yeah.
the show.
It's been fun.
We support
for
you.
Sure.
When we did the, when I was part of that with Jimmy Connell, all of this stuff came out I never even knew existed. Because, yeah, we were in the moment people. We weren't
right.
really thinking about it. But some people are, and so hopefully they bring you the stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see his doc part two.
I'd, well.
Enjoy to see part two.
SS Iowa.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm ready.
We're all ready. May 21st, 2014, edition of Watt for Pedro show. I want to thank. Thanks for making the hell ride down to Pedro.
Yeah, it was easy.
See Frank going back.
Always nice,
Dad. Man, thanks so much for you. Always.
Thanks for the burrito.
Able, I'm ready to bed. And the burrito was all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. People, next week, Joe Nolte of The Last.
Oh.
I saw him 36
wow.
years ago.
And I just saw him at Liquid Kitty last Sunday. They
wow.
did a great set. Yeah.
Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. They were like high energy. Very cool.
Respect. Okay, everybody. Keep your powder dry.